the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers, so we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Hey Sid, why don't you tell people a little bit about one of our partners here in this season, Miller College of the Bible, and we have really gotten to know them over the last number of years. I know you've had lots of interactions. Have you actually taught at Miller?
Yeah, dude. I spent a number of years heading out to their campus in Pambrim, Saskatchewan, and teaching their youth ministry course out there, dude. So yeah,
that's incredible.
Cool. And not only that, I got to speak at their youth retreat, so I've done that. And Jer, I spoke at their graduation convocation one time. Come on, are you kidding me? Why
That's
don't
incredible.
I have more Miller swag? What's going on here?
Okay, so this is a sponsor. We want to tee them up as being excited and not be upset about the lack of Miller swag.
No,
I actually have Miller swag, so I don't know how you didn't get it.
You got the Miller swag.
I think I wore it a couple of days ago. And then the other Miller shout out before we tell other people why they should love Miller, just we love Miller, is Steve from our team. His daughter is at the BC campus.
Yeah, she is. And you know what? It's so good. I love hearing Steve's daughter's experience there. It's really been formative. I was just with two kids 2 days ago who are both going to the Miller campus at Sunny Bray, and God's doing really good work in their lives there. You know, they're so committed to discipleship. They're so deeply committed to the Word of God, Old and New Testament. They talk about it all the time. They're committed to the whole Word of God, and we love that. They're very clear in understanding who they are. And Jared, they're doing some really innovative work. They're launching multiple campuses. They have a campus now that they've launched in Winnipeg. That's right in downtown Winnipeg, where they are trying to like reach some of the people that are struggling the most in that area, you know, in terms of poverty and those sorts of things. And, you know, so I'm just really thankful for the work that Miller is doing, you know, specifically here in Western Canada, and their intentionality with which they do it, and their commitment to Jesus and the Word, which obviously resonates with us very much.
Yeah, it's one of those things, and we know from our research that when you've got a student, so you're a youth worker, you're listening, you think about your graduating students, making sure that they've got a really great place to solidify their faith post-high school, and Miller is just one of those brilliant spots.
Yeah.
So even if you're thinking like, hey, this is going to be a year stop, where I'm going to solidify faith, I'm going to live out, and then go to something else, hey, that's understandable. Let's use Miller as a great spot for that, because my goodness, they're going to care for those kids, and they're going to build that deep discipleship that will last. So we just love the work that Miller, we're going to throw all their links in the show notes, obviously, so you can check them out. But we would love for you to consider that for your students. And anytime you've got a kid looking for, again, that thing post high school, make sure you're researching those options for them and kind of helping present them to them. I think that's great. Hey, Sid, we've got a wonderful question from listeners here. Can your volunteer experience get better than this? And I know a little bit of the context of this particular one. And so let's just know that we've got some people listening, and it's like, you know, they're going to just feel hurt a little bit here, because, you know, what happens in youth ministry is you got your experience, you signed up for it, you believe, you've got high hopes, but then it's difficult. So you're showing up and it's like, yeah, you know, the questions aren't that great. Maybe the teaching's not that great. The room that you're in is kind of stinky. The students don't seem to care about you. And you're going week in, week out, but you're thinking, there's a lot of things I could be doing with my time. Is this whole thing going to get better at any point? Like, does Jesus show up in the room? Like, what happens here? Because this is not exactly exciting at this point.
Well,
does that resonate, Sid? Have you experienced that?
Yeah, and the other problem is every conference you go to, every equipping space you go to, the dude or the lady up front tells you like the best 5 minutes of their youth ministry career, and it sounds like it's the whole thing, and it's not even close. So, Jerry, you and I both know that we have both had multiple moments where we're like, seriously, like, can I keep going? Should I keep going? Is this making any difference? So I just, before we get going, let me just say this. Hey, if you're having a hard time and struggling with your, you know, volunteering in your youth ministry, wondering if it matters, you are not alone. I don't know a single youth worker that doesn't have those seasons. And by the way, Jer, I'm not sure we should be too surprised if it's hard and has seasons of difficulty. Now, there's lots of reasons why those difficulties might be in place, some that we can actually fix and do something about, some that we can't, some that's just part of the calling into that space. It's just hard work. And so, you know, there's a lot of wisdom required when you're kind of thinking about it. But the first thing, Jerry, we just say to our friends is, please don't be surprised. And just because it's difficult doesn't mean you should exit necessarily. And I think there's lots of good ways that we should respond to the struggle that is real, if you will.
Yeah. Okay. So can your volunteer experience get better than this? I mean, maybe, yes. And we can talk about that, but what if it doesn't? And what you're saying is maybe that's actually okay.
Yeah. And I want to say a couple of things about what if it doesn't. First of all, the first thing I'd like to say is don't be totally surprised. Hey, the number one calling that Jesus gave us as his followers was to deny ourselves, take up a cross, and follow him. And so we shouldn't be shocked if following Jesus and serving Jesus is like truly hard. And our level of struggle is real, but it's nothing compared to many people who have struggled much more deeply in their like kingdom work that they're involved in. So we shouldn't be surprised if it's hard. And I think, Jared, one of the problems that we have is like, especially the church in Canada, we've done everything to make ministry and church experience really comfortable and convenient. And that just seems to be the very opposite of the way Jesus would have us, you know, live on this side of heaven. So I just want to clear on that.
Yeah, there's this funny tension, right? Like there's a sense of like Jesus's yoke is easy, his burden is light. Right. And then like you mentioned, he's also like, yeah, take up your cross. And so there's like, hey, my volunteer experience, like it's inconvenient and it's challenging. And you're like, And the first century Christians, like they were martyred. Like the Romans put them into the thing and the lions came and ate them. Like, so,
I know.
Your time with the grade 6-7 boys, I get that they stink, but like you're going to be okay. So, I live that intention because I get the both sides of that kind of scenario. Yeah. So what do we do with the difficulty?
Yeah. So here, a couple things. First of all, don't assume that because it's hard, you're not making a difference. I think that's really, that's the first thing to assume. And I've had multiple times, Jer, where I'm like, oh my word, this is such a colossal waste of time. I can't believe I'm invested in this. And in fact, my favorite story is I had a couple of grade 6 boys that I was taking for a Bible study. Once a week in the mornings, we went to Tim Hortons, tried to do it once a week in the mornings. It was just a disaster and they couldn't listen. You know, I was wasting time. A month later, I'm like, seriously, I'm getting up this early for this. Doesn't matter. I ended it. Like, Jer, honestly, 5 years later, I get an email from one of those kids who'd gone to YWAM. Jesus had changed his life. And he said, hey, we were supposed to like contact the people that impacted our lives. And he says, one of the greatest impacts in my life when I was in middle school was those Bible studies we did at Tim Hortons. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So like, just to be clear, and that's not the only time I've had that, we often actually don't know what kind of a difference we're making until we quit leaning into those moments and walk away. And then all of a sudden, you kind of go, oh, that meant more to those kids than I thought. There was more going on than I was aware. So, Jer, I think the first thing that I just want to say is don't assume that what you're doing isn't actually making a difference. Just don't do that. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Do you want to speak to, so it might be making a difference. If it's going to stay difficult, do you have any encouragement for like, hey, somebody that's like, oh, this is a hard slog in the season? Yeah. Do you want to say anything to them?
Yeah, let me just cut a couple things to you. So you might be looking for ways to simply persevere, which is really fair. Like, by the way, just showing up might be the most spiritual thing you do. So you might have to like pray a lot. You might need to like, if you could find someone to help share the burden with, like I found when I had a group of boys in my small group that were really hard, I just didn't want to suffer alone. So I found another friend to come and experience the pain with me. That was practically helpful. I think that's practically helpful. And then I think it's actually, sometimes it's okay to take a pause for a time and do that. Now, the other thing I want to say is it's good to analyze your experience and see if maybe there's something that you are doing or could do different that could actually categorically shift the experience. So for me, I changed my location that I was doing. I said, this is dumb. We're stuck in an office. Let's go outside for a walk. And we just did that for 20 minutes, actually changed the experience. I changed my expectation a little bit. Instead of thinking I need to do 30 minutes of small group time, 5 to 10 minutes is going to be just awesome. I looked to grow my competency, or if so how can I do better at managing a room? How do I do a better job of setting some clear expectations? Can I do some accountability? If I was using questions that were created for me, I might ask the people creating those questions, hey, could we like sharpen those questions a little bit? Or if I could get to them sooner, I might actually kind of rework some of those things. So I think, Jared, there's also some things we can do as far as the experience itself that might shift, you know, how we have that moment with our students. And it's really good for us to explore that. And then the other thing I want to say about that before we move on to another possibility is sometimes I need to change, I need to add experiences with those kids that will help shape the way those moments. We can have those moments together. Here's what I mean by that. I remember when my wife had a really tough small group of girls. And so she just went and did something fun one week. They actually went and did paintball. That's what they did. She needed to get out some aggression. And that helped because it built trust for them that they could then carry over into their small group time, which began to change the way they interacted with her there as well. So I just want to say, if it's hard, yeah, maybe you're stuck. Maybe it is hard. But not necessarily. There might be actually things that you can do or explore that can shift the experience. Certainly, you should find someone to share it with you. I think that's really wise. And there might be times you need to take a break and just renew yourself, take a breath so you can come back in with good energy. I think that's really fair too.
Yeah, I love that so much. Okay, so, hey, we've got this whole podcast is built on the idea that if you got a little bit better, sharper, that maybe that actually helps your experience as well. So don't go slow on the fact that, hey, if you have a specific challenge, why don't you solve that challenge? So yeah, if your part of your bad experience is because students aren't talking or you don't understand how to connect with them or they seem ridiculous, then actually bring that as a challenge and a problem and see if maybe somebody can help solve it for you.
Jared, can I just give a quick framework that I'm using to kind of assess kind of difficult moments? I don't know if this will work for sure for our volunteers, but let me just throw this at you.
This is ministry difficult moments, or this is like life's difficult moments?
Oh, maybe both, but let's go with ministry anyways in particular. Maybe life. So I'm asking myself, this is the framework I'm using right now to help me process struggles. I'm asking myself, number one, is this a situation I'm dealing with? Number two, is this a season I'm dealing with? Number three, is this a culture I'm dealing with? So if it's a situation, I've got one kid in this moment, bad moment, great, let's deal with that. Let's process as it gets through. If it's a season, it says to me, hey, I need to hang in there for a while, but it will change. For example, kids don't stay as grade sixers forever. At some point, they begin to age and transition and change, and your experience will categorically become different as the seasons shift. But then there's a question about culture. This is the way we function in this environment. And unless someone gets really intentional to change the culture, your experience may not change. It may always be an experience of frustration. So for instance, the church ministry you're volunteering in is chaotic, and they don't do anything to help limit or remove or shape chaos. They embrace it. In fact, they almost create it. It's their way of being. Okay, then you got to ask yourself, if that's your number one problem, probably that won't change. And so then you need to consider what your response might be. So that's helpful to think about these situations in that way.
I think that's really helpful. Yeah, think about situations, seasons, and cultures. That's a wonderful framework. Is there anything else that you want to tell people? I know we're not solving your problems, but the truth is if you wanted to send us an email, we leave that in the show notes. And we might be able to help them specifics, but we want to be in the corner with you. Yeah.
Let me go pastoral for just a second, Jer. One of the reasons we shouldn't be surprised it's hard is because we live in a broken world that has been shaped by sin. So it's broken. It doesn't work the way it should be. The evil one is actively opposed to the work that we're doing with students. And shockingly, I still have to wrestle with my own sinful nature. And the experiences that our kids are dealing with are like really traumatic in many ways. And many of them, don't know how to bring themselves into those spaces. So I just want to say that healthy, good youth ministry is not removed from a struggle. And in fact, in some ways, the better we get at youth ministry, Jerry, we've said this a lot before, the more messier it may become. Because, there will be more trust to start to download and process and be ourselves and different things that go along with that. So I just want to say, bless you in what you do. It's not easy work. It requires the best of us. And I want to say thank you so much for what you're doing and sure appreciate you. Youth workers make an eternal difference, Jared. That's what we keep saying.
Absolutely. And it's the truth. We'll see you next time here on the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Sid, we've gotten to know Operation Mobilization over the last couple of years, this missions organization, and in particular this year, they've come along getting to know some of our youth workers because they've got this ministry called Teen Street that's pretty interesting, pretty unique. Why don't you fill people in on Teen Street and how that might be helpful for our own youth ministries?
Yeah, so here's what was unique to me, Jer. We've all known Operation Mobilization as a global missions organization. Teen Street is a little bit of a unique angle on what they do in general. They're really, through Teen Street, committed to equipping small group leaders to better disciple the students that God's placed in their care. So they have some of these kind of really unique tools that they give to like a small group leader that can help spark really helpful conversation, can help guide mentorship relationships with students, and just really help like a volunteer youth worker manage their small group. So they're leaning into that space. You know, it was really fun, Jared, the other day when we talked with both of our friends from OM. Both of them are volunteering in their local youth ministry. So it's not just theory for them. This is actual practice. And we're really thankful for the work that they do. So, hey, listen, if you're a volunteer youth worker and you're just looking for some tools to help you better like serve students in your small group, we think you should take a look at Teen Street. They got some pretty cool stuff going on.
Yeah, one of the links you'll catch on their show in the show notes, the links to their website, is they've got this out-of-the-box customizable discipleship event. And so it's a great resource that they're offering for free. You can get that there. And obviously check out the rest of the stuff they've got going on. So take a look there in the show notes.